podcast?
Movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Two movies a week on one day.
Welcome to the Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 179. I am your host, Tiggs, and with me, as almost always, Russ.
My bump.
And the one who's literally always here, Peter.
Wow. Okay. I was gonna.
Doesn't mean anything bad.
Yeah. You live in Riverside FM now. Like that's what it was talking about. Oh, it feels good. There's movies that started coming out again, y'all. Like, did I just say y'all? I feel like I heard you say that, Russ, in the green room, and now it's on the brain. You do be saying that. We got a couple of things to talk about. A couple of good ones, a couple of bad ones. Let's start with, you'll find out, Scream 7. How did everybody like Scream 7?
It is, okay.
Wait, was that a statement? Was the okay part of what it is?
I think it's worse than okay. Yes. I am one of the people that, for better or worse, have enjoyed every Scream movie on some level.
Me too.
Every single one.
Yep.
Until this one.
Yep.
I thought every single time they mentioned New York, I'm like, this was a completely different thing. And I'm like, you guys are talking about New York. You're the ones who lowballed her on the contract
to
come back for that movie. So this doesn't feel like tongue-in-cheek and funny. It's like you had to back up the Brinks truck because you fired somebody for saying something about Palestine. And then Jenna Ortega said, I'm not doing this. So you don't have any goodwill here.
No.
Yeah. But
this is what you chose to make?
Yeah. They didn't have any goodwill. But at least they didn't have a script.
Well, this is okay. So like after coming out of the theater, I was like, that wasn't so bad. And Marilyn was just like, no, that was bad. that wasn't a Scream movie. Like it wasn't funny. You don't care about the characters. Like, yeah. And like, that was the problem, is that like you want to like the characters that are getting killed as you start to watch them get killed off. And that's been every single Scream movie up until this one, who they introduce a character just to kill them off. And then you don't really understand anyone's motivations. Like the one kid who runs into the back of the kitchen to be like, don't worry, I got this. I know the killer's back there. You're like, what is he doing right now? Why is this happening?
Yeah. And like, normally you can kind of figure who's doing which killing when there's multiple killers, which is pretty much all of them.
Ghost faces.
This time around, I'm like, okay, so did creepy Ethan Embry kill her son or did she kill her son?
I think she did, right?
But that's dumb.
I know. Yeah.
And that's where I landed too. I'm like, they're using Pilates as her excuse for how she's so. This felt like someone wrote a spec script for a Scream that they were able to turn into getting a deal to write something else. This isn't a Scream movie.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to be there. And I think it's obvious. I don't think Neve Campbell wants to be there. I know the Meeks don't want to be there.
Nope.
No one from the original movies or the reboots wants to be there.
Courtney Cox seems so checked out.
But she also is like, just give me that paycheck.
Yeah. Like, as you said, there's no reason for if you're kicking out your lead, who was the most interesting part of the reboot. You lose Jenna Ortega, the most famous young cast member.
Yep.
And so you're left with these two people whose only job it is to get stabbed 24 times over the film so far.
Yep.
And just don't bring them back. They serve no purpose in this except to like attempt to be snarky. and it just, it's nothing.
And to make 7 feel like it comes from 6.
Right. Like it is connected. It has to be connected somehow.
But it's not. You're just saying 6 is its own thing. And we're kind of picking back up from Neve Campbell at 5. Like you talk so much about New York, and New York was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't hate six. I like six. Yeah.
Don't talk about the one that just came out that was kind of fun that doesn't have any of that. Because that one tried to at least say, how do we take a Scream movie outside of a Scream movie and still make it a Scream movie? Mm-hmm. Whereas this is like, how do we make a Scream movie a Scream movie no matter what without making it a Scream movie? Because none of this means anything anymore. And both the Meeks Martin siblings are like, the minute they show up, I'm like, well, this is dumb. This feels like when somebody used to write a really good comic book and the author quit or like stopped and just try to pick up those threads.
And like the tone is fully off and you're just like, these characters aren't supposed to talk like this. What's going on here? Yeah.
This felt like, but the wild thing is it's fucking Kevin Williamson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy.
How is this? I hope timing was the issue here because you wrote so many of these movies. How is this what you're doing?
Yeah, you should. And you better than everyone understand that there's like a point to making a Scream movie. Even
right.
The second movie comes out 12 months after the first one. So it was clearly very rushed. So you make it about how there needs to be a second one.
Right. Which is a great premise.
Yeah. And then like this one barely has a theme except almost like punishing its original final girl for trying to not be a part of these.
Right. And I think there was something around that.
The whole
metaphor
at the end is dog shit.
Well, the reasoning is dumb. It was the book. I don't know, a book
that made me strong enough to kill my husband. And now I want to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I said, you have to try to like really put pieces together from this shitty puzzle to try to make a point out of it.
They always reflect on like some amount of like the horror fandom in some way but this one didn't seem like it. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like whether it be like the sequelitis or the reboot quills or whatever, it missed all. Like there wasn't a larger point to like the horror genre within this. It just seemed like we want to do some gory kills and Scream was never about the gory kills. Like there were gory kills, but like that, this was the stupid like beer tap thing. I don't want to see that in this.
That's from a different franchise. That is not at all.
And it's like, Scream there's like
terrible there's, stabbings.
Right. Yeah. You get stabbed and it's over.
And there've been like, and I can't, I think 5 or 6 touch on it maybe. And if they don't, I'm giving them more credit than they deserve. But like you could have done a whole like, oh, there's like you haven't touched on like elevated horror as a thing yet. And that is like a theme on a type of horror that has made a fuckload of money lately and is what we talk about from an award standpoint. You could have gone there. You could
try to do generational trauma or something like passing on to your kid, not passing it on. Like it doesn't
done
work.
Something like I look at Heredity. Like there's just so many things that this could have been.
Yeah.
Especially once you have a blank canvas and you have to start all over.
Right.
This is what you chose. Every single one of these movies was made fairly quickly. So I don't even want to give them the credit of, well, you had to make this one pretty quick to meet a release date.
Because also,
every single one of these movies has been written, directed, cast, and shot very, like very, very quickly.
What was the point of like the Neve Campbell like Oh yeah, I've got two other kids.
Remind you that they also remember that she had more children before.
It made no sense. It
or was maybe like the two smaller children were the only ones we ever saw, and like they have to kind of make it up that she has an older daughter.
Just so weird. Like there were just like so many weird bits and pieces about her life that they were like trying to throw in there that like I don't really remember it. I'll be honest. And like, yeah.
It was bad, you guys. Like, and it unfortunately has made so much money.
It made so much money. I mean, I was there opening night.
I said I wasn't going to see it, and I still saw it.
Yeah.
So
I will see the next one. Like, there is no you can't really like. They're
connected. It's not like it's a franchise where. It's like a Final Destination where every single one is a little bit different. Like you're following the same characters. I got to see where it goes. Yeah. But worst reveal of Killers.
Oh,
I think the worst reveal of Killers in any movie ever.
And once Ethan Embry showed up, you're like, all right, come on. Like, of course. Like,
I had to look him up to see like, is this just like ugly makeup? Is this what he looks like these days?
Is it what he looks like these days?
That receding hairline is a little.
Yeah.
Like I know
they play it up for the movie, but
age naturally. You know, like don't feel like you need to go to Turkey. Don't feel like you need to get work done. But like, goddamn, just
maybe do a little bit of work.
Yeah.
Because if your hair is going all the way back like that, then just don't have it.
It's pretty rough.
The biggest thing that we cannot do, because no matter what, from the 1990s until the 2020s, a killer calling you on a phone is pretty spooky. Let's never, ever again think that FaceTime threats are anything but terrible to look at.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, I forgot.
As soon as I saw, I'm like, oh, this is a deep fake.
Yep.
And I know that the movie is questioning whether it is or it isn't, but I don't think you can make it look like it isn't a deep fake, even if it's real. Like, it just doesn't look good. So don't do it.
That would have been a much more interesting road for them to go down if it was something closer to like, I don't know, some sort of like AI, like oh, we're it's so hard to figure out who the killer is because of all the AI. Like that would have been something interesting instead of just like, I really liked your self-help book. I should kill you.
Also,
the book obviously didn't help. Let's be clear.
No. And last thing I'm going to say on this, and it's more of a question. Didn't they kill every single one of Tatum's friends?
Yeah, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Every single one.
The neighbor, her friend from the play, her boyfriend who had the laziest, oh, wait, it might be her boyfriend fake out ever.
Yeah.
So
every single one. And then the girl who ran, who like her parents owned a bar or ran a
was that what that like was? That. Yeah. What was that about? That was weird too.
She is the only new character still alive. Other than, I guess,
wait, she's alive?
She was alive?
I'm sorry. Tatum is what I mean. Tatum's the
only one.
Yeah. So, because
we met Joel.
So there will be no Torch. Like, I guess they tried the Torch and it didn't work. So, what that now?
After Sydney again,
right?
Yeah, like,
this is so stupid. And now it'll be like her and her daughter are now like both, Linda Hamilton from T2. Like, what the fuck is this?
Which is a bummer because Sydney's ending is Scream 4.
Yes.
The fact that like her family member was a killer because she was jealous of her and her still surviving through that should be her end.
Or three, when she leaves the gate open after meeting Jay and Silent Bob, you know, earlier in the movie. Well, I mean, I guess she doesn't meet him, but they're there.
And like leaving with a guy named Mark who is not this Mark.
Who's a different Mark, but it's supposed to be, but it's supposed to be a different Mark too, isn't it? She's married.
Yes, it's supposed to be a different Mark. So I think they thought they could get him back for whatever reason, and they wrote in Mark, and then they were like, oh shit, he doesn't want to come back. All right. Different Mark. It's so stupid.
Oh my God. All right. All right.
It's like objectively bad.
It's objectively bad. Unless you like really like the franchise, you got to go and like, you should not see this, but like if there's going to be an 8. So like, you know, get ready for the next one, I guess. All right, let's move on. Let's clean house a little bit. Let's talk about Hoppers. Let's get some good feelings in here, Pete. What did you think about Hoppers?
I thought it was cute. It was very nice to see a Pixar that was not pitched to me or any other adults.
Yeah.
For the most part.
At all. Yeah.
I wish it was funnier is my biggest complaint.
It's not funny at all. Like, I think that's like the big problem. Really? But, and it's also like, there's a legitimately like scary part, like, like towards the end of this movie.
Yeah. I thought Bobby Moynihan, I thought was very good. His performance was enjoyable. I did like how the movie seemed to change every 10 minutes for a little while. Like, it kept like staying ahead of me, which was surprising. Which in my brain makes it for kids that it's going to keep like not trying to like thematically keep telling the same thing. It's going to like restart it. Like, you know, she, you know, the whole opening with the grandma switching, the whole opening of her being like, an activist, to the hopper technology, to the glade being different than you would expect. And then the council, like, it keeps jumping forward in ways that are pretty different. But yeah, as I said, the only complaint is the comedy. It was nice that her grandmother's death isn't an up-style death.
Yeah, it kind of happens, and that's kinda like, that's fine. So it's not like the worst. So I was okay with that.
But yeah, it just as I said, nice to not be overly messagey. Even though, you know, there's an environmentalist message. There's a very strange, love the people on the other side of the aisle as you message.
Which was a little awkward. Yep. Yes. Weird stuff there. Overall, it was a cute movie. This was one of the, I'm trying to think of like what it's kind of the most like reminiscent of. And I guess like there's some weird, there's like some Turning Red energy, but like not like, but like a younger version of Turning Red.
Yeah, I get that. It's Turning Red without the metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everything else is like felt very similar to me a lot. But again, you know, the actual animals are cute. And
I was annoyed at first at the animation of the animals, but it works when you switch back to that basic animation.
Yeah.
More so when they have like, cause they have a very simple, they have like super simple eyes at the beginning. And then when they're like in a hopper and you can understand them, they're way more animated.
Okay.
So then the bit of them switching back really hits in a way that I enjoyed.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And I think that like the third act is very like, it's legitimately kind of like frightening at times.
It's a bit intense.
Yeah. Like to the point, like I was like, this tonal switch is maybe too much for like, depending on like the child. I assume this was PG.
Yeah.
Like even like this was.
Oh, 100%.
A bit intense for all of that.
I kind of overall think Pixar doesn't, I think Pixar needs to know, or at least in my mind knows that like, they're not reaching super young kids anymore.
Yeah. Well, like the super young kids have grown up a little bit, and now like they're, you know, maybe their kids are having kids. And this is where we're at with it.
Yeah, I mean, the sense of like, there's been so many years of every parent you talk to being like, why would my kid watch a Pixar movie? They're not like big, they're not silly, they're like overly sad sometimes.
And they're not rewatchable. Yeah.
Right. Very few of them. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've watched
not a lot like of times. For a kid.
Yeah. No. Right.
So as I said, I think they're leaning into that. They're be like, you know what? We're actually for a little bit of an older audience. And we're going to try to figure out what that range is and hit for them. And, you know, not necessarily need to hit for their parents because, you know, Disney, like adults will see movies no matter what, right. if it's a Pixar right. kind of thing. Like, we don't have to convince them.
Right. And like, even like you get that pretty quickly. Cause like the very beginning, right. is when she's like, in like elementary school or whatever, and breaking like the turtles out of the cages, is like, okay, this is cute. This is good. And then it immediately jumps like 17 years later and she's in college. And it's like, okay, so it's not for that audience anymore. We've moved on.
Cause like, what would you say was the last Pixar film that was for kids in the way that like Cars hit with little kids,
like Big Hero Monsters 6 or something Inc. like that?
Oh, that's not Pixar.
That's not Pixar.
Oh, though. Is it not? Oh, Big Hero 7. I guess Monsters Inc., which I have never seen.
And really? That is like 20 some odd years old.
Weird. Say, yeah, we... it's so I don't know. I mean, maybe
Monsters Inc. came out in 2001.
Jesus Christ.
Because I know, like, whatchamacallit, like, Finding Dory was a gigantic hit, but I don't think in any way is that movie, like, for little children.
No.
Yeah. Ratatouille's not really Nemo either.
Kids liked, but, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Soul? Was that a kid's movie?
Yeah.
The Good Dinosaur. Wasn't that? That.
Probably, oh, God, yeah. That was probably their and, like, their agreed-upon worst, so.
Yeah, like, everyone disliked that movie.
And I think that is where they're like, all right, that's not what we do.
And then I guess Elio recently, but I don't, like, Elio just wasn't good either. So maybe this is just, like, them, like, kind of starting this this trend that is not going well for them right now.
Who knows?
Oh, no, who knows? But all right, let's go. Let's talk about the other animated movie on this list. Talk about Goat. I was gonna like make a Bride reference there, but I decided not to. Russ, you saw Goat.
Yeah, dog. I liked it.
It's cute.
The animation's fun, it's vibrant.
Yeah.
And I also you can't tell me that Jet Fillmore is not supposed to be LeBron, and this is like Steph Curry having a conversation through this movie about how LeBron's style of basketball is not a sustainable style of basketball. Like, I just was so watching this movie thinking, oh, this is Steph talking about LeBron.
Yeah.
This is so cool because LeBron is the player, is the coach, is the was the everything.
Was the everything.
Didn't win as much as he should have because of that. And then around the mid-teens, all of a sudden Steph Curry starts shooting the lights out of everything. And now it's like, wait, there's a whole other way of basketball to play. And as somebody who like works in a school building, I'm like, it's so funny to see like, kids don't talk about LeBron. They talk about Curry.
No.
And they not as much anymore. But it was, I'm like, this is about basketball today, and it is great. And it was cute. I thought it was cute. I thought it was a very good usage of he's in every animated movie. Nick Kroll.
Oh, I hated Nick Kroll in this.
He does this character in every single movie.
Yeah.
So this is a time where I didn't hate it because I'm like, I see the type of basketball player he's supposed to be. I know like what they're saying. So I'm like, all right, this one I can tolerate.
Yeah. For
but me, I generally don't like Nick Kroll's voice work.
Yeah. For me, the supporting cast was very much like, oh God, let's get a couple of like names and throw them in and they'll bring their own personality with them, which you're already expecting them to. And it as the supporting cast was my biggest issue with this. I liked our main goat. Obviously. I liked Kerry Washington, right? No, Gabrielle Union. Yeah. I like them.
Was very good.
The coach who I can't remember.
Oh, Patton Oswalt. Yeah, Patton Oswalt was great. Yeah, I thought that he was the standout. Once
I realized it was him, I don't know how it took me as long as it did.
Yeah. But yeah, as I said, the rest of the supporting cast is what kind of dragged it down a bit for me. I liked the evil horse Maine. Now I can't remember.
Aaron Pierre.
Yeah, I think my least favorite thing visually, even though the movie looks great, they do the Sony animation thing of let's fuck with focus by just changing the style of animation of things in the background, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I really did not like when the animals like got on all fours for some reason.
that was a little weird.
Especially Maine. I did not like when the horse ran around like a horse.
He had too much personality for that to make any sense. It was off-putting.
I audible sounds of disgust when he was like he pranced around the vine.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh god.
I like full on in my seat went, ooh.
Why didn't they just call it basketball?
I don't know.
It was really difficult.
The only difference between Rollerball and basketball, and I watched this movie trying to figure it out, was there were a lot of carries and a lot of double dribbles. But I think on account of the fact that they're animals, so they're like, all right, we don't dribble the same.
Yeah, but it's like that's Space Jam is like the same, thing. Like whatever.
The
like
Mario Kart style courts.
You know, that's normal.
Yeah, I mean, again, like Space Jam was never just like we're not playing basketball. Like I don't know. Yeah. Like we all know what you're trying to get at.
Yeah,
it's just basketball. And that's fine. Just it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
That bugged me.
Yeah, kind of annoyed me.
Very funny trying to figure out when exactly they signed the contract to use the airless ball that was made a couple years ago.
Oh yeah,
that was developed and like feels like and dribbles like a real basketball, but no one can shoot it because the aerodynamics are completely off.
So funny.
So everyone hates it, but clearly they were so deep into production on this that they had to stick with that the ball with the holes in it, the airless ball.
Oh my god.
Which is so funny because also how in God's name did that not add like weeks of work to the animation?
Oh
yeah, God. Totally.
And like unnecessarily so, because a solid object you just, you know, account for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to copy and paste it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The things that could be behind the like,
yeah.
It's so much work.
Take a picture of it.
See. Do that. It's such
Nano Banana, replace this everywhere. And just go from there.
But yeah, I enjoyed it as far as kids sports movies go.
Yeah, totally.
I liked the world. I liked that the courts were all a little bit different. I am a little bit of a sucker for a sports movie, and this was a sports movie that
me too
knew, that like really knew the sport. Like this was a very, I don't know why they didn't just call it basketball, but
insane.
It really was tied was like. Dialed into the current NBA, WNBA, and college basketball products.
Like it was,
and the politics of teams and moving that all of it. But as soon as I saw Jennifer Lewis was the Warthog owner, I was like, oh, this is major. She's gonna major league him.
Oh, yeah,
it's like it's so. The minute I saw her in that bathtub, I was like, oh, major league. And I find that comforting because as a kid, you probably haven't seen Major League yet.
No,
if not yet. You like goat, you want to know what you might like once it's appropriate for you. Major League.
There's just a little bit more cursing.
Yes, I feel like this and Major League are a really good, would be a awesome double feature.
That's a good idea. I like that.
A weird double feature, but like if you have a 13-year-old kid, do it, because this might be a little young for them, but Major League is definitely going to be a little old for them.
Yeah.
Meet them in the middle.
All right. Shall we keep going?
Yeah, why not?
Let's keep going.
But to.
There's no rules that says we shouldn't keep going. All right. Okay. Nobody else saw The Bride?
Tiggs, you got to tell me about The Bride.
I mean, it's fine. I don't know. Like, I think
so bad.
Well, that's what I heard too. And like, I went in with very low expectations and I was like, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be some junk. And I feel like it was the same with Wuthering Heights. We're like going into it being like, oh man, like this is just going to be terrible. Everybody hates this thing. And coming out of it and being like, I don't know. It was fine. Like, let's be clear, pointless. Like it wasn't like the worst thing that I had seen. Again, better than Joker Follow Ado, which I do feel like there are some threads in here.
That's the praise
within it. You know, like kind of like flashing to like Mary Shelley and then going to The Bride and then like back to Mary Shelley being in the head of The Bride. And like in like whatever like weird time frame in Bonnie and Clyde style story that they're trying to get across. It's bombastic, it's highly stylized, and it's kind of interesting, but I didn't think it was as bad, or alternatively, how bad everyone said it was got me to the point of like, yeah, I would, you know, I'm not going to, I don't want to watch it again, but you know, there are worse representations of all of this that is going on right now. I did say I'd like before she actually really like turns into the bride, like I would say like the beginning portion of it, like it's not that long. I was just like, okay, I don't know if I can, like, I don't know how much longer I can take like this initial preamble to becoming the bride. And then once it becomes like that, like revenge, Bonnie and Clyde type story, I was like, all right. Again, not great, stylized, weird, keeps jumping between like multiple different like areas and time periods and fictional realities. But
man, yeah, I hope when I see this, like I'm going to have low expectations, but my hope is still, what if I love The Bride?
Yeah. And like,
it looked cool.
Yeah.
And that, so like, I don't know if I would call it cool.
Okay.
There are cool parts to it though. You know what I mean? Like there are cool parts to it. I think it's worth at least giving a shot, like on an iPad. You'll probably have a pretty good time with it.
Okay.
If there's one way to watch it.
They're going to probably try to get that onto VOD very soon.
I'm shocked it's not there already.
It tanked.
Yeah. It was like horribly performing. Yeah. I mean, it's the more I think about it, I walked out of it.
April 7th.
Oh, all right. So
they waited a month.
It's actually longer than I thought they would have. Check it out. It's not as bad as everyone is leading to believe, because when all of the reviews came out and were just like ripping it to shreds, I was kind of excited. And then I walked out like disappointed that I didn't hate it, is kind of like how it ended for me. Oh, yeah, all right. That. Yep.
No, go. Absolutely move on.
Thank God. Yeah.
I have nothing to say about it.
Pete, they will kill you.
Yeah, I saw this and Ready or Not back to back.
Makes sense.
Which is very, because I did not know what this movie was about at all.
I didn't either.
I went in completely blind. So I didn't know I and the movie distributors of this country made a thematic double feature for us. So for me, it worked as a surprise.
Okay.
Once the surprise wore off, I was kind of just like, oh, there's really nothing else here. There's the surprise of the fact that this is actually has like some like fun choreographed
supernatural fight sequences. Yeah.
And then the surprise of the supernatural all kind of worked for me. And then it just slowly slowed down.
I gotta say, that part, the supernatural bit, like, didn't really work for me because I just didn't care. once that, like, you know, Kill Bill elements aside, right?
Yeah.
That initial fight scene, which was a very good fight, in in the hotel room, slices the head off again, like right out of Kill Bill. And then for the body, to, like, you know, come back together or whatever, or reanimate and just be like, oh, is this what we're going to be doing? Like, I don't like, it's trying to be, it was like playing it a lot for laughs as well, which is fine. But like, I don't know, it was either like not silly enough for me. Like it needed to go like really Looney Tunes. And I think I would have been like way 100%. More into it. And so it just kind of landed in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. I think some of that is, I think Patricia Arquette's character is, I think that's deeply miscast. I think she's entirely too dry of a performer, and is playing that like her character in Severance.
Yeah.
I don't think that fits with what the movie needs.
That makes sense.
I enjoyed like being chased through the tunnels, like that little part.
Yeah.
Being the eye trailing them, I thought was pretty clever, but
that was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, as I said, it grabbed me in the opening 20 and then slowly just started losing me as time went on.
And that opening 20 is very good. Like when they're when they're running and like the guy shows up and like, I thought that even like that intro was incredibly well done. And I was hoping for more of that throughout. And then like, oh, you're in a Satanist hotel. It's like, I don't fucking care. What is going on?
I figured it out already.
Like, I get it. Yeah. It wasn't that hard to figure out.
Yeah, there was a couple of, like, weird little references to, like, other horror movies that I'm just, like, I couldn't tell if they were trying to play it for a laugh. I can't even remember the second one of them now.
I couldn't even. Which one?
Like, there's a kid named Damien.
Oh,
which is
okay.
Almost played for as a joke.
Yeah.
And now, God, for the life of me, I cannot remember the other reference.
I feel like I remember there being a reference as well, and now I'm, like, annoyed that I can't remember it.
So they were bad references.
Yeah, exactly. They were bad references. I mean, I guess like disappointed in that, like there was like very high hopes, like from the initial like shots of it. Oh, but then after that,
absolutely was cooking that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of cooking.
So Ready or Not 2 is weird. For me.
Okay. Can before we get going, did people explode in Ready or Not? I not remember that? I literally don't remember that.
Yeah, at the very, very end.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay, but that wasn't like a thing that like, this was just the power throughout the movie. No, okay.
That's just like, because it at, like dawn comes and there's this kind of question like, does this family actually have a pact with the devil, or is this family kind of crazy? Were they doing this for no reason? And there's a beat in which you're not sure. And then the whole family.
Then everyone blows up. Right. Okay. Yes.
So like the fact that they're actual like Satanists is kind of a mystery and of kind of a fun reveal. And then this movie goes so deep into the lore of this world.
Oh, very deep. Very deep into the lore of the world.
My biggest issue is like the first movie, like it's you know, you're playing hide and seek and
of course
it's at nighttime in a big spooky mansion.
Of course.
And it's fun because we have all these kooky characters chasing this one person. And for some reason, this movie's like, the best way to heighten that is to make it daytime outside on an open golf course. And it's just, why did you think this was as visually interesting? And it's kind of annoying in that way. While still like enjoying it overall, I thought there was some like pretty fun performances, but it just like, it asks you to like care about the location in this in,
yeah.
like, in the same way, and it just like falls flat visually. Whatchamacallit? I don't think we need her to have a sister.
No, although I didn't think the sister was bad.
Catherine Newton a lot.
Yeah.
It's just it's whatchamacallit? It's, as I said, what's so fun about the first one is the silliness of this family.
Right.
And this one does that again. It has like all its new rich people characters are all insane and fun.
Yep. They are very fun. Like Elijah Wood, hilarious. Sarah Michelle Gellar, very good. Cronenberg shown up.
Yeah. Like but in the first one, all Samara Weaving needed to do was not die.
Right.
And that's thematically like we're on her side watching her do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to spend so much time giving her a deeper story in this one. And because that's not what's fun about your franchise.
Yeah.
I think it would just be okay if she was just being like chased again. Like I haven't seen the first one in a while, but like I just remember the first one having way less of her than this does.
I think that you're right. Yeah. Cause she's squarely like just in like, like center frame for this entire flick, which isn't bad. Cause she is actually very good in it, but I think that there's something to like the John Wick 1 to John Wick 2 effect of like John Wick 1, all like he has these gold coins and you're like, what the hell is going on here? And then John Wick 2, like everything really starts to like open up like much, much further. Into like what actually it is, and you can feel them trying to do something here and like build a world, but there isn't really one. There's just like this family, I guess.
There's just more families.
Yeah, and that's fine, but like it doesn't totally work. It's trying to be more fun than the first one, and therefore fails. But no, it was like, I think if you're going to between this and They Will Kill You, I'd much rather watch Ready or Not 2 again.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause I do have like more problems with this one. I think one of the issues for me watching this too was granted it's a sequel to a movie that was all about hunting a woman.
Fair.
But I felt this leveled in its violence against women a little bit more than it needed to.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially with the male twin, the guy that was in The Faculty when we had a mini The Faculty reunion in this.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, Sean Hitosi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From The Pit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Russ, you were teasing earlier off mic about feeling a way about this movie already. Having not seen it.
Yeah, I just don't fucking care. Like, I really enjoyed Ready or Not. I thought it was really fun. I like that the Radio Silence guys kind of turned that into two enjoyable Scream movies and like a better than it should be Abigail.
But totally.
Like 7 years later or eight or however long. You think I give a shit about this?
Mm. I like Abigail a lot.
Abigail's fun.
I like finally being back on Abigail.
Once I saw like the trailer and I was like, oh, so the game's not old, is another game. But it's daytime game out everywhere.
Daytime game everywhere.
Oh, and there's another person playing a game. So I get what you're doing. You're like, it's like heightening everything, but that doesn't need to happen. So I'm out. I don't need to see this shit. Like, and the end of the first movie was such a, oh shit, it was real.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
That is such a cool place to end that you don't need to go back. Because now I'm almost like, well, hey. They're trying to not die.
Right.
Yeah. They're trying to kill you so that they can live because, they worship the devil. Yeah, what are you going to do? But,
like, you know, it sets up this expectation of, like, okay, so how are they going to top that ending in a way that's kind of similar?
Right.
And they, and it, this feels like trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
That'd be like making a Cabin in the Woods too, where they did live, but guess what? There's a whole other bunch of people doing Cabin in the Woods style shit.
This definitely reminded me of that. Like this, the ending, especially the ending of this, like really gave me like some like Cabin in the Woods types of vibes at times. It's weird. It's not, obviously it's not necessary, like, but it's still kind of fun. I don't know.
Yeah, it's still charming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the worst movie I've seen.
I don't need the relationship between the two lead sisters, but I still think the both of them are good.
Yeah.
I liked Elijah Wood.
He's very good. I mean, you want a weirdo in a movie.
Yeah.
You should probably just go call Elijah Wood and just be like, can you come be a weirdo in my movie? And be like, yeah. What do you, today?
yeah, I just got to go hunt for Gollum first.
Yeah. Oh, one of these days. All right, let's do it. Let's do the big one. Strangers Chapter 3. I know we've been all been dying to talk about it. So no. All right. Project Hail Mary. Let's do it.
Either of you read it?
No. No, that book looks like reading science, and I don't want to do that. Like Andy Weir seems like the kind of guy that is really into how smart he thinks he is.
I think that's right.
I would much rather watch movies of his stuff than watch his than read his stuff.
I feel like I was talking to someone who did read Project Hail Mary, and I think that, I believe they explained it or described it exactly as you just did. Yeah,
we get it. You're smart.
Yeah, he didn't seem to be a part of the marketing for The Martian, and now he seems to be a part of the marketing for this, and seemingly has like immediately put his foot in his mouth.
Shit on Star Trek.
Yeah.
What did he say about Star Trek? Like,
you're not the star of this. That's like the big thing. Like this is very much a Ryan Gosling vehicle.
Yeah.
And people went and saw him, and then other people were interested in a live-action Lord and Miller.
Yep. That was how I got there.
Yeah. I didn't really like The Martian. Did either of you?
I did.
I thought The Martian was – like, it was at that time when, like, we had a space movie coming out every October after Gravity. Sure. Yep. So, like, it was enjoyable, but I don't even know that I'd call it enjoyable. Like I walked out of the theater and I was like, huh. Not, and I don't mean that negatively, like just like, but I was actually, especially the way this movie was framed, because I don't know how the book works. I don't know if the book starts at the middle and goes to the beginning and then kind of shifts back and forth. But this movie definitely worked the way it was cut. Like
Caitlin has read it and said it's pretty much the same. Her thing is like the whole story and the whole framework is the same. Her big thing was like what I think is like makes it a good adaptation. They don't like try to convince. They don't try to tell you how long this is all taking.
Right.
And like they don't let him. Like there's a ton of time that he's alone on that ship before we meet Rocky.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that. I think they speed through a lot of this stuff because they know it's a visual film and people will either buy into your reality or they won't. And you don't need to try to convince them.
Right. And I think, and I enjoyed like kind of the flipping back and forth. And then Gosling really just so charismatic.
Like this was like the perfect role for him.
Yes. And so like very happy with all that. Rocky, I was like, what am I going to think about this? And then immediately I was like, he's my dude. Rocky's my guy right now. All like what is it? Fist my bump. Like the couple times that happened, great. I thought it was interesting that it took a little while until they made the Rocky Balboa reference. I really thought it was going to happen earlier, and that I didn't remember there being a Bullwinkle reference, but like that would have been fine too. So like, you know, miscues, but I thought that like everything about the movie was beautiful. I love the design of like the Rocky space suit that Ryan Gosling has to wear and then was like struggling to walk in. I was like, this is such like, that's such a funny like concept for like this being who is like on all fours to be that can use this like ball thing that they create for it. Like what would it do for like a bipedal being? Like, that's it. It makes sense. Like, yeah, you would not be able to hang up that.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's just like, I don't know. There's not a lot you can say about it that's bad. It's just really enjoyable.
Very propulsive.
Yeah. It moves. Like, it's long. And, like, I have definitely a hard time with anything that's, like, 2.5 hours, and that's every movie now.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to go to the bathroom. And I didn't want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll just go to kill time. But I was like, you know what?
Take a break from the movie.
Just to, like, get a because it's like you're stuck, man.
Yeah, I get it.
It was, I didn't feel the need to go because there was always something happening that was interesting and seemed like, I'm curious to see what was not, like, with adaptations, like, I'm assuming this is a big-ass book. What didn't make it into the book? Because it seems like everything that needed to be there was there.
Yeah. As you said, as Caitlin said, they cut out explanations and time for like reflection and like monologue about how it feels to be in this space.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm guessing also like
the plot point happened.
Like the, maybe you don't hear as much about in the movie, the commander and the engineer on the spaceship,
right?
That you know, you probably get more of them, maybe more of them in the book,
some sort of backstory for them,
or just like anything.
Yeah,
but it's not 100% necessary, I'm guessing, because you know, it didn't take away. I liked seeing who they cast. I was like,
yeah.
She's made it back to movies, and that guy from the worst X-Men movie. they get to be in something. That's cool. Sandra Hüller, I thought, was really, really good.
It was great. Yeah.
So funny. So funny.
I thought she was exactly who would be the head of an international task force designed to do what they're trying to do. And I can't friggin' believe Rocky is a puppet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's like no green screen in this movie.
That's wild. That's awesome.
Everything, they actually went to space.
okay, that's was going to be my next question, if there was no green screen.
But yeah, like I guess that was like Lord and Miller's thing. Like, they didn't want to do green screen. They wanted as much practical stuff as humanly possible.
Nice.
So they spent that's where the budget for this movie comes from, is they spent a lot of money to make everything look real.
Yeah.
And they made a real puppet. Like,
I like having here be the voice of Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to find someone to cast. Which makes, I think, the Meryl Streep joke work a whole lot more.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That was so good. Yes, that was great. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I love all of like the on Earth stuff with like the different governments and like all of those scenes, and just kind of like having Gosling being like tossed into some of these these meetings that like he's obviously not comfortable in, but like is able to like run, and just like how funny a lot of, I mean, I guess they're just like the situations that they're putting him in, but he's able to really like play off of all of the other people in there, like as though he is just a fish out of water type.
Yeah. They do the bit of like, he is clearly very smart and figures things out, and they use what he has, but then it's, they do the joke of like, while he's still thinking about the thing that he did, like they're like 10 steps ahead of him now.
Yeah.
Like he keeps getting them over the hurdle and then they run a lap ahead. Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed the, well, that much energy, like if something goes wrong, could blow up California. And she's like, well, that's why you live on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
Yes. Now. That was good. Yeah.
It really worked. If I have like a complaint, it's kind of more of a complaint for like Andy Weir's style of, I think he keeps adding an extra hurdle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the end of The Martian, like, so The Martian dude figures out a way to live on Mars.
Yep.
Grow potatoes in the soil in his own shit.
Makes sense.
And like finds a way to get off Mars. And then I forget exactly what it is, but there's another giant hurdle with him having to like couple it with the like shuttle or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
We don't need this one at the end. We've seen
with
him
like
do
20 so minutes to go. There's like another. Yeah.
We've seen him do so this much. Thing. And this movie is only about a guy getting off Mars.
Right.
It's not about a guy failing to get off Mars. So there's no expectation that he'll fail. Mm. So it's kind of the same thing here. There's no expectation that Ryan Gosling's going to fail or die. So for me, my biggest wish for this movie is the scene in which they go quote unquote fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that scene was just a beautiful sequence.
Yeah.
Of like, of color, of everything. But like the second he steps out to do a spacewalk and they show you that like what he's connected to is a little loose. I'm just like, I don't care right now.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, that one doesn't matter. Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's going to pull this off. Because then later on, like at the very end of that scene, spoilers, kind of spoilers, I guess, for Project Hail Mary, when something goes wrong right after that, and there's a question about whether Rocky survives.
Right. You do worry. Wow.
That I'm absolutely locked in on.
Yes.
Yes.
So you do this scene of tension scene for Ryan Gosling, and I'm feeling nothing. And then I have this other one. I'm like, I would have loved this scene if you showed me the beauty of space and their ingenuity for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like the ship, like dipping through that atmosphere, the colors of that planet. If they just loved what they were doing and then we potentially see Rocky die saving him.
Oh,
I would have been in tears.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And like, as I said, because like, with that, and then at the end, there's another bit of issues that, like, if it is so rushed when he's like, oh, the bacteria that I created in 7 seconds is also eating what it is, and I have to choose to go help Rocky.
Right.
And, like, if you're just going to keep doing hurdles, I'm sure it reads interesting because of all the science you're also explaining.
Right.
But you got to cut one or two of them out.
Yeah. I think that like anything, like they could have just kept in anything around Rocky, even like when he's sleeping for like an extensively long time. And there is this question of this, like, is he going to wake up? Like, is everything fine? Like, this is a really long time. Like, what's going on? And for him to wake back up and just be like, oh, thank God this movie has heart again. Like this is that was something that like, there was tension around it, and maybe it's because Rocky is basically like a dog.
another bit I just want to shout out was the scene in which Rocky tells Grace that he thinks that's disgusting watching him eat, and then we see how Rocky eats.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was like so perfectly over the line about how it looks to make that joke land.
Yeah. Oh. This is I'm pretty psyched to watch this one again. We've had a really good couple of months of movies.
Do you think it? So the buzz obviously is it's like, oh, lock up one of the 10.
It'll get one.
Do we think? We think so.
It'll get one.
I think so.
It'll get if F1 can get one.
That's true.
Project. I think this is going to be the lock for the. There's been a movie every spring that has held on to get a nom.
Yeah.
There's been a space movie almost any year where there's a big space movie.
Yeah.
There's been a big budget movie pretty much every single year. So this movie has like
done it's hit it all.
Box office. It's come out in the spring to critical and audience acclaim. So
yeah.
They both like it. And it's a space movie. I feel like this is the one.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think so.
So it'll get technical. It'll be the F1 where it's nominated and it gets technical awards. The question is whether it gets performance awards.
I think Gosling could get one. Marcus from the Bear should get one.
It's a question of whether he gets whether it gets acting, writing, technical stuff.
Yeah,
the technical stuff I think will stick around. The issue is that we have both Dune 3 and The Odyssey coming up this year.
Yeah.
So I think that's not
going to win anything.
Yeah. I think visual effects, because there was no green screen.
That's impressive.
A big deal.
Yeah.
They did actual practical stuff with Rocky.
So cool. So cool to know that now. I had no idea. That's really cool.
Yeah. They tried to limit CGI use, but that's why it costs as much as it does.
Yeah.
If you want something to look good, you have to fucking spend money.
You got
to
do it. You got to make it.
The beauty
make it
look of good. Not going CGI for everything and green screen is that this movie will look good 10 years from now.
Yes, exactly.
It'll be like Jurassic Park, where Jurassic Park still looks good.
It still looks great. You could watch that on like any size screen any day, and it looks amazing. Because
they use CGI as an airbrush and not as the brush.
Right, exactly.
And I think this does that really, really well. And Lord and Miller, good on them.
And
how dare the Lucasfilm people fire them?
I didn't want to bring it up.
I desperately want to know what their original, like, what did they do and what were they up to that made everyone
release the Snyder Cut? Like, let's go. I want it.
Was it completed?
They were like almost, I think they were like halfway done or more than halfway done, and before they got dropped.
For Ron Howard? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Makes sense. All right. Let's wrap it up. What do we got coming up in the next couple of weeks? Like, we were just talking a little bit about it, but give me some further out titles that are coming.
Well, Super Mario is out now.
Out now. Catch it.
And then
seems like everyone is going to be doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
And then this weekend's The Drama, which I'm very interested in.
Catch it.
I'm looking at stuff like I'm gonna see a movie in the theaters in the next month. We'll see.
You heard the controversy, now experience the movie. I Swear comes out at the end of this month.
Interesting. Okay.
We've got Faces of Death.
What? Really?
Yeah, it's a new it's kind of almost they're taking it and making it into like kind of like a found footage horror movie.
Oh my god. Okay.
The Michael Jackson biopic as well.
Okay. Already tracking to do like 60 million.
Jesus.
Opening. Samara Weaving's got another horror movie coming out with Jason Segel.
Yeah. That one, that looks pretty good. That's directed by one of the guys from Lonely Island.
Yeah, that's Jorma.
Jorma, yeah.
Devil Wars Prada.
There's more stuff.
But it's like kind of weird. Like, isn't like Doomsday coming at some point?
No, that's December.
Fall. Oh yeah. Shit! Okay.
Oh yeah, there's another Mummy coming out.
Yeah, there's another Mummy. Grogu comes out in what, a month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah, it's May. May is literally a month away.
It's next month. Yeah.
That Onion headline was delightful. Disney loses $300 million for not calling it the Baby Yoda movie.
I mean, to be fair.
Mortal Kombat 2 in May.
Adventures in Baby Yoda sitting.
That That one got me.
It's pretty good. I don't know. Yeah.
Ooh, I love Boosters is the same day as Mandalorian and Grogu.
That's the new
Boots Riley.
Boots Riley. Okay, yeah, I'm interested. This is his first since Sorry to Bother You.
Yep.
Yeah, he did that show.
Whoa, I never saw
it. I cannot remember the name of.
It was like an Amazon show.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. I'm a virgin. Yeah.
All right.
So we got some stuff.
We got some stuff coming up. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. All right. You can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias, probably not posting, though, as Russ Incredible. You can find Peter on Letterboxd as 12 Angry Peters. You can find me on Letterboxd and Strava as Johnny Tiggs. Alex is...
Movies.
Alex's movies. Movies. And that's it. That's it for this time. So thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for joining us. We'll see you next time. No, you'll hear us next time on the movie podcast.
Amaze, amaze, amaze.